First reading this evening is from Romans chapters 5 and 6. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. With one accord, O God, we pray, grant us your Holy Spirit. Help us in our infirmity through Jesus' blood and merit. Grant us to grow in grace each day, that by this sacrament of baptism we may eternal life inherit. Amen. This is a Lutheran church, so you have no doubt, I hope, heard the word baptism and about what it means many, many times. And there's a chance that you may even be tired of hearing about baptism by now. That is not going to keep me from talking about it again, but I do understand your plight. Because the church has marked out this Sunday, the Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, to highlight the baptism of Jesus Christ. Why do we find it so important? We find it so important because Jesus finds it important. In our gospel reading today, John the Baptist tries to skip it. He attempts to correct things, set things the way that he thinks they should be. He knows that Jesus doesn't have need to repent of his sins and receive forgiveness. But Jesus tells John when he tries to skip it, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Why do we speak about Jesus' baptism every year? Because when Jesus undergoes his baptism, he says it helps to fulfill all righteousness. What we see him doing here is what he came to do. It is why he took on flesh, to go where sinners need to go, to put himself in the shoes of sinners. This is, of course, where his ministry is about, what his ministry is about, and it is always heading towards. Ultimately, Jesus putting himself up as a ransom for the sins of the world. So he will go to the cross, he will become sin for us sinners, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is what the Gospels are driving towards. Jesus taking the punishment and the abandonment of the Father that we all deserve as sinners, and he does so in order that we sinners can be reconciled to God. and in him, in Jesus, be declared right and brought to new life. Now, that may sound to you like a bunch of theological gobbledygook, and it may be the reason that your eyes are already glazing over. But I tell you, if you miss this, then you miss the point of Jesus. And many people in the world do miss the point of Jesus. Most of the world doesn't care a lick about the baptism of Jesus. They simply do not care. They probably haven't heard of it, or if they have heard of it, they quickly forgot it. Much of the world wants to make Jesus simply another nice man, wants to make him into some kind of mushy teacher who, if you listen to them, doesn't actually end up teaching much at all. Certainly nothing controversial. They know Jesus somewhere talked about love, and so they will just take that out of any context he may have put it in, and they will run away with that. And when they do that, in a way, they do more violence to Jesus' image than Herod ever attempted to do after Jesus was born. As I said in Bible study last week, at least Herod took Jesus seriously. Not so many unbelievers today. But that is exactly what happens when you ignore Jesus at his baptism and you don't really care much for what he said or did. In the same vein, this is also true about our baptisms and what it means if we don't care or know about our baptism. Jesus puts himself where sinners need to go. But another key to who Jesus is and what he came to do is that he changes those places where he goes, where he puts himself in our place, so that when we follow him, we receive something different. We receive far more than we would ever receive or could ever expect on our own. Thus, when we go to baptism, we receive heavenly blessings. This also happens in our death, just as we follow Christ to the grave. And here's the point in the sermon where I'm going to pivot, where I'd like to go from Jesus and what his baptism means to us and what our baptism means. As I said earlier, you may have heard this many, many times. But you've heard it many, many times because we find it to be so vitally important. When Luther and the first reformers turn their attention to the teaching of the Christian faith, and when they try and boil it down as succinctly as they can, they boil it down to six chief parts: the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, confession, and the Lord's Supper. And it's not to say that there aren't other important things, there clearly are, but from a young age, from childhood, they thought that Christians needed to know about these six things. Baptism makes that cut. It is that important. Please note, it is also in the creed. So it's not just Luther and the reformers who thought it was important. The early church always thought it was important as well. And baptism makes the cut because of things exactly like we heard in our Romans chapter 6 reading. Paul makes the point that our baptism is where we are united, each and every one of us, individually, as we are baptized. This is where we are connected to Jesus' death on the cross and also his resurrection on Easter Sunday. This makes it where our life with God begins and how we know that we have a good relationship with him. And then knowing that, what it means for our relationship to the world and everyone around us. Paul is saying simply, in short, without baptism, we are lost. In the Gospel of John chapter 3, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, Jesus tells him, unless one is born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You are not going to get there from where you are. You need to be born again. He says that baptism is that new birth. Paul writes in Romans 6, we were buried therefore with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In our baptism, we are united to Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. We are united to to the most important part of human history ever. And one of the things that Paul is emphasizing today is that baptism gives us new life, that everything about us changes. It is life out of the midst of death. It is life out of the midst of our sinful, fallen mindset and the culture of death that we are born in. And instead, we are granted, we are given new life by God. And this means that we are no longer our own. We no longer have to figure out everything for ourselves. No, we are children of the Heavenly Father. And we know Him as the one who created the heavens and the earth. Therefore, we know what He tells us about how the world is supposed to work, about our place in the world, about how things are supposed to be, and what we are to be doing with what God gives us in our lives. So as I said, this changes for us everything. It changes how we think about marriage. It changes how we think about family. It changes how we think about money. It changes how we think about our jobs. Even our view on other different matters, even view on old age or young age for that matter, all of this has changed. And that is because we have been brought into God's kingdom. We've been brought into His reign, His order, the way that He has organized the world. And it means, as St. Paul says, that we are no longer in this life for ourselves. It is not about us first. That is what leads people into sin. Adam and Eve place themselves first when they reach for the apple. They place themselves above what God has strictly commanded them. And by doing so, they bring death not only into the world, but into their own lives. This is what we do when we sin, when we place ourselves above God's word and above how He had told us to live. And it is true. Paul will point out God is gracious to Adam and Eve after their sin. But that does not mean that we sin to get grace or that God's grace should be taken for granted. Shall we sin so that grace may abound? Paul asks. And he answers, by no means. How could we? To think that that sin will not affect you poorly, or to think that it will not hurt the people around you, that is a blindness and a deception that baptism and the teaching of God's word destroys. Because we know now what sin does and why we have to be cleansed of it. Jesus is baptized and He goes to death for sins, for our sins. That is the cost of sin. Jesus Christ is the cost of sin. And in your baptism, He marks you as His own. He cleanses you of your sin, and He gives you new life and a new role, a role as a child and heir of God. Here in Matthew chapter 3, we have this nicely laid out for us. Immediately after Jesus is baptized by John, the heavens open. The Father speaks and declares Him His Son. The Spirit descends in the form of a dove. So much happens at that very time, at baptism. It still does today. That is why we talk about it over and over again. In His life, when He was battling the devil, when He was battling the doubts and the temptations and the lies of the world, Luther would respond, I am baptized. And note, he doesn't say, I was baptized, as if it was something that happened long ago in the distant past and that he is beyond now. That is not how he says, I am baptized. It is not simply a past event. It is a current, present reality for everyone who has been claimed by God. You are baptized. Your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life. Amen.